Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Peter 2, 2 through 5, and 9 and 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks.
Thank you, BJ. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My pop culture knowledge ended the day the music died, June 22nd, 1969. I wasn't yet, but that's when, I mean, we all know June 22nd, 1969 was when Judy Garland died, and everything since then has been, it's fine. But I was told yesterday, and I kind of knew, like, I'd heard of this song, or at least the phrase, Born This Way, and I used it for our sermon title. And then my dear friend said, you should listen to the song. It's a great song. And I did, and it's wild. Oh, it's very modern. It's very modern. And the words are really beautiful. I was born this way. I'm on the right track. I was born this way. And that's a message God gave me today. And what I want to do, though, is I need to share a story that I know I've probably shared before. So just for a minute, pretend that I'm your Aunt Patsy who likes to take you down the same path on memory lane all the time. Well, my first church at the Baptist Church, it was filled with pastors, a lot of retired pastors and then ordained ministers who worked in other places, not churches, but they'd done a lot of preaching. And this one guy, I won't say his name, but it was Ray Fosnight. He was a great guy. But Ray had preached for more than 60 years before he retired. And every time I preached, he would say to me, "You're good, but you know, you preach too much grace. You need to preach more judgment." Now I've been preaching 30 years. And you know what? I still can't do it. I can't do it because I can only preach what I think God has given me to say. And God always seems to want me to bring a message that there's more grace than judgment. And yes, sometimes after I finish a sermon manuscript, I look at it, I read it over, and I think, wait a minute, is this just a pep talk? Is this just one of those post-locker room matches, a match that hasn't gone well, and I'm the manager saying, "Come on, lads, we can do this next week." But every time I do that, the Holy Spirit seems to reply, "No. The people who are coming to church, or who will come into the personal care home, wherever you're going to be, the Holy Spirit seems to say to me, even you need to hear the truth of God's love." And then the lectionary gives us a passage like this today, four to choose from. This is the one that was on my heart. And this is a letter from Peter. BJ read it for us. Many historians believe this wasn't from Peter himself, maybe from one or more of his followers. Still, some believe it was from Peter, but it hardly matters because the message comes from God. And this is indeed a sermon, a letter, a message that's full of grace. It's a pep talk. It was probably written around the year 65, and it was written to people who were described as resident aliens. People all over Asia Minor. A circular letter taken by messenger from one area to another. People different from one another, spread out, but in the most important way, the same, and they all needed to hear the same message. They needed to be reminded that they are God's people. Now, some of us here, we are related by a bloodline or by a marriage line, yet each of us are carrying our own hurts, our own gifts, our own unique histories, our weaknesses, our faults. And it's much later than 65. It's 2026, but God still has the same message. We, you, belong. And you didn't just start belonging when you were baptized here or somewhere else. You didn't just start belonging to a family when you got married, to a church when you joined, or when you walked in a church. You belonged from the beginning. And this letter is written to people then and to people now who are searching, who are aching to know that they belong. And so sit for just a moment and think about a time when you felt that you did not belong. Maybe it was back in school. Maybe it was in a marriage that had just become too painful or was now alien to you. Maybe you felt like you didn't belong anywhere when you got devastating news about your own health or the health of someone that you love, or the awful news that your mother, your best friend, your child, your brother had died. And you felt like a resident of nowhere, an alien. And this message, God's message, is, wait a minute, hold on. You belong. You can think of any excuse to convince yourself you don't. You don't look the right way. Somebody left you. Somebody snubbed you. Somebody told you outright otherwise that you didn't belong. Somebody told you, or you feel like you aren't needed anymore. But listen. Listen to God speaking to your heart. You were born belonging. And that doesn't change. I have a dear friend. I've known her some 20 years. And we were talking the other day, and she's worried about what's going to happen when she dies. She's not worried about where she'll go. She knows that her loving God will receive her. But she's worried about her funeral. She doesn't belong to a church. And you see, she said, you're going to have to do my funeral. Nobody will take me. And I assured her that I would, if hers is before mine. But now I wish I would have said more to her. I wish I would have said, buddy, a funeral, a memorial service, as we call it in the Presbyterian Church, a witness to the resurrection. That's when God's people gather and they celebrate the life of a beautiful child of God, somebody who belonged to God from the beginning. And at that service, we're going to mourn the loss of that child in our everyday lives. And we're going to give thanks for the beautiful truth that that child is now living the eternal life with God. And we do this. We have these services. We say these words and share this time together, not because a pastor or a priest or a synod or a church or a diocese says it's okay. We do it because it's the truth. That child belongs to God's family. There's not me or any other pastor or church who made that true. And we can look at scripture and we can debate it, and sadly people have used it to twist it to suit their own purposes through the ages. But the truth that runs through it all and will always be there is that every one of us is a living stone. And with that stone, God built a living church. And just like the stones that we see on the ground, they come in all shapes and sizes and colors. And they don't maybe all seem like they could be useful for building something, but they are essential and they are part of the living, growing building. Even if the mortals have rejected, you or me or someone you love. Because we Christians, we have the perfect example of that truth. Jesus, who is referred to as the stone that the builders rejected. And he's the cornerstone. And I have another little story I'd just like to close. Once I attended church at a church that didn't really kind of look like a church at the time, the Sanctuary. It was up at St. Bonaventure, and it was the building that they built when they were also building the school. And I'm not sure what happened, but it turned out that the Sanctuary, well, it was originally supposed to be the gym. And so long years ago, the Sanctuary of St. Bonnie's, it kind of did look like a gym. I mean, it was great. It was beautiful, but it wasn't beautiful. And Father Bob, a friar from the Capuchin Friars, he was visiting. He was an older man, and he told one of his old stories. He told of a time when a woman came to him and shared a grievous wrong that she'd committed. And she shared that she couldn't forgive herself, even though she'd been forgiven by the person she wronged. And she believed that she was worthless and that she didn't belong anywhere. And Father Bob said that God gave him words to share with her, and he thought they sounded harsh at first, but he said to her, "My child, how dare you not forgive yourself when God has already forgiven you? How dare you not see that you belong when you do? When God claims you, you belong to God." And so it's not that that I'm always given a pep talk. Because God, I believe, gave a message for me to share that was through a message that God gave Peter to share. And that same message was heard by those people who heard it then and is heard now, that you, that we belong. That everyone belongs in God's loving family from the beginning. born that way.